Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, WFHR, locally grown radio. Got Melissa, Beth, and James here, and we are joined right now by our good friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Good morning. Oh, good morning over there. Paul, you there?
Michael Kerr here.
Michael.
This morning.
Hey, Michael, how are you?
Doing just great.
Oh, good, good. What has Mother Nature got in store for us in this beginning of the new year?
Well, quiet conditions out there for today, but not so the case tonight into your Tuesday, expecting a wintry mix of precipitation as soon as tonight. But out there for today, yet looking to stay dry. Some patchy freezing fog, a possibility early on this morning. Otherwise, mostly cloudy skies for the remainder of the day, with high temperatures headed up into the lower 30s. Then for tonight, as a low pressure system begins to work up from the southwest, expecting a wintry mix of precipitation, snow, even some light freezing rain, and some sleet at times for tonight. So we'll want to watch out for some icy roadways out there late tonight into the first part of Tuesday. For tonight, low temperatures holding fairly steady in the lower 30s. And then through the course of your Tuesday, some freezing rain still possible early in the day, but then changing more over to a rain-snow mixture by the afternoon. High temperatures working up to 36 degrees. Little if any snow accumulation expected, though, for tonight through your Tuesday. Changing back over to that wintry mix then for Tuesday night through early on Wednesday, could maybe pick up a coating to as much as an inch of snow accumulation late Tuesday night through your Wednesday time frame. Wednesday's highs climbing up to 32, and then some much quieter conditions to round out your work week both Thursday and into your Friday, with sunshine making a return. We're back closer to average with a high of 24 degrees for Thursday, lower 20s for high temperatures on Friday, and then we improve back to some upper 20s into the weekend. The Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Michael Carroll.
Appreciate the time, Michael. Happy New Year to you and yours. You have a great day.
Have a good one.
You too, Michael. Best in the business right there. Our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center, greatly appreciate them joining us. Yeah, this is what we expected for the weather, though. This is kind of what we thought.
Did he hear it was National Buffet Day, so he gave us a buffet of different kinds of weather?
Yeah, really, really.
A little bit of everything.
That is Wisconsin, ain't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that really is. So we got some fun stuff to get into this hour, and we will coming up in a little bit. We'll get into Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. I want to touch on that one. I have mentioned a couple of times about this new law that was kind of put into place by this judge in Dane County. I want to talk about that as well. But right now, this is one that we've been we teased this last Thursday. We weren't able to get into it. We ran out of time. So I have it here now. 10 things women do that men are baffled by.
All right. You have us on here to explain them?
Yes, yes. to make fun of us, basically. Yeah, that's just have fun with this.
All
I think.
Right.
I did not look at this beforehand. So we're just going to dive in all together with fresh eyes. Someone on Reddit asked guys to name things women do that have always baffled them. And some of the answers are just stereotypes. So let's go ahead and cover that right away.
Okay.
Some of them, though, may hit home for some people out there. We'll see. I don't think these are in necessarily any order, although I would say this first one is probably the one I've heard the most from men.
Okay.
Decorative pillows. Why does a bed with two people need 90 pillows? You need one for one person, one for the other, and then there's all these others for no reason whatsoever. Why does the couch have to have a saying on it? Why does this pillow has to have a saying? Yeah, I don't know. That's one of those ones, though.
I like my decorative pillows to be functional pillows as well. And the ones that I have were actually gifts. My grandma made me a quilt set.
Nice.
Years and years and gosh, now it's probably been over 20 years. And she included two, and I'm calling them decorative, but they're similar to the pattern of the quilt that she made me, and they have lace around the edges. So yeah, they're decorative, but they're fully functional. There's no like flowers you're afraid of squashing on the front if you sit on them or lay on them. So, I mean, yeah, functional, but pretty is okay.
Yeah.
Being mad about something he did in your dream last night. I have had this argument. Yes, I have had this one. It didn't go well, I'll tell you that.
Well, emotions are confusing.
They can be, yes.
And sometimes feeling upset about something, even if it's not something real that happened, yeah. I don't know. You got to process and get through it. It's not his fault, and no. It's kind of all on you to figure that out.
The obsession with popping pimples, but not on yourself, on others. Yes. For the love of all that is, why? Why? That one, yeah. I don't understand that one at all. I don't even want to do it on myself. Why would you want to do this on another person?
I don't know.
It's oddly satisfying.
Exactly. I was exactly that. Took the words right out of my mouth, Melissa. There's just something oddly satisfying. And for me, it was kind of inbred. My dad couldn't reach some of his, so he had us do it growing up.
Yeah, we had a student that lived with us when I was a kid. And so he was a teenager in high school, and I'm, you know, in grade school. And he's a redhead, so he had an excessive amount of them on his back that he couldn't get to. So we'd help him.
Yep.
I don't know.
Yep. And there's a nice release of pressure.
I just...
James is uncomfortable.
Very.
If it makes you feel better, James, I take care of my own as well.
I don't like even doing it to myself, though. I don't understand doing it to others.
Well, and women are helpers, you know? See, we want to help you.
Right. Somebody helping you is better than you don't have to do it yourself.
Melissa, this is the closest I've seen him to squirming in my whole time being here.
This is the closest I think I've ever been, yeah.
All right, but now if we want to get into the scientific side of things, it is actually not healthy to
it is not.
Excessively pop your pimples.
True.
It's not good for your skin.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. There are other ways that are better to take care of them.
Sharing intimate details about your bedroom life with friends. Now, despite all the locker room talk in movies, most guys don't really do that. I don't know if that's common knowledge necessarily, but I've had 1,000 male friends in my life. And maybe 2 or 3 of them like to talk about that stuff. Like, that's it. And that was probably in high school, you know?
Okay.
Most, and I'm not saying that men are afraid to talk about this or anything. It's just, I don't think, I think it the interest that we have in it lies in the person we want to lie next to. it doesn't necessarily with somebody who we have nothing to do with, you know, like, they know. Guys, well, if we're going to talk to each other about certain things, and this is not one of those areas, but a lot of things we're talking about are our angle on something or bragging about something or what have you. When it comes to sex, most guys aren't bragging about that or under-bragging about or whatever, unless it is on a stage, like as a comedian or something like that. Like, I don't know many guys to go around asking or talking about this stuff very much. I don't know... I think that there is there's plenty to dig in there, like as far as like is that healthy, is it not healthy, you know, and all those things. But just as far as answering the question here, because I think that the perception is that guys do this, like we talk about the bragging, quote unquote bragging about sleeping with somebody or what have you. I've never in my life had a friend do that. Like maybe in high school, and I just don't remember. But as an adult, not once have I heard any, like it barely, the topic barely comes up.
I would say for me personally, it comes up in conversation as more of an educational conversation, not a bragging or talking about in a way to get attention. It's about, okay, I have a question about this, and can you guys help me answer it? Because for some of us, we didn't get any of that shared with us growing up or when we became young adults. So, and there's not a lot of information out there that you feel safe hunting out.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Because, you know, there's only so many things you can put into that Google search bar before your results become a mess. And so a lot of us are hesitant to put those things into a Google search.
Right.
And I think we just got to get better talking about sex. And I think we just got all of us, everybody, man, woman, everybody.
Is this specifically talking with other women about it or just talking about it in general?
They're saying talking about intimate things about your sex life with friends.
Okay. The person you really should be talking about it is the one that you're having the sex with.
Probably.
I mean, that's communication is key. You know, if it's not feeling right, talk to them about it. Let's see what we can do. What do you like? What does bring you pleasure? Those are the conversations you need to be having with the one that you're having that type of a relationship with. But sometimes it's a matter of, you know, is this common to feel this way when this happens? You know, what's this going on?
Well, and that's the reason to have that conversation with other women, because if your sexual partner is a man, he's not going to be able to answer those questions from a woman's body perspective.
This next one, it's a bit of a two-parter from me. I'm adding my own piece to this one. How a lot of women don't dress for the occasion, they dress for the arrival. Then after 5 minutes, they're already uncomfortable. So there's that part of this, but then there's the part where you bring the two outfits or you always have a backup outfit. Like, I admire this so much. I think it's so cool. But I also have never seen a woman like prepare the second outfit. Like, it just is there. I don't know how that happens. I don't know where that goes on. It's very well done, though. It's very well done.
Well, a lot of pressure is put on women to look a certain way so that you need to look appropriate. For my wedding, I was smart enough because I don't know if you've noticed, there's a little bit of a height difference between my husband and I. Like a good 9 inches. And so for our wedding, I wore 4-inch heels so that our pictures would look decent, that the height difference wouldn't be so big. My reception, I brought a pair of those ballerina sneaker things that matched my wedding dress.
Nice.
So that when the dancing started, and after greeting people and not having to worry about pictures anymore, I could take off the heels and put on something comfortable and still be able to dance.
Yeah, didn't have to worry about twisting an ankle.
So that's where the second outfit comes in.
Yeah.
Because there's that expectation that when you arrive somewhere, you arrive looking appropriate for that.
I get having a second outfit. I think it's really smart. I'm not sure where does that come from? Like, is it in the car? Is it in the purse? I've seen women like do this where they show up in an event. Like, I've gone to events with women. I know what's in the car. I drove them there, and somehow they flip out. Outfits, and I don't know where that came from. I don't know how they did it. Are they Superman? I mean, it's impressive. It's very impressive.
We've
I think
had
it's
to
really
learn
cool.
Because unfortunately, when people design things for women to wear, they don't do it with comfort in mind.
Or pockets.
Exactly.
Yeah. This one I have learned later in life. Yeah. The conversation where he says, "What's wrong?" And she says, "Nothing." And he says, "Really? I can tell something's up." I said nothing. Are you sure? Because nothing. No. Yeah, that conversation. Yes. Let's be fair about that one. I know plenty of guys that have done that too. In fact, I think you could even say that I would not be shocked if I saw a survey and it was like 60-40 or something like that. And I'm not sure where the 60 lies. Because guys, where we get about this one is, I can tough it out. I can walk it off. This is nothing. My issues are nothing. My problems are nothing. I can handle this. So why talk about it? But obviously something is bothering him. Obviously something you can tell from his body language or something like that. But then when you ask him, I'm all right. I'm fine. I'm good. We do it too. Guys do this too.
And it's just as frustrating for women when that happens.
Right. I think that the intent is differently, though. I think men, when we're doing this, we think it's in some weird, twisted way, some kind of noble thing to bury our pain and our feelings and everything, when obviously it's not healthy and it doesn't help the people that surround our lives. I don't know the intent. I'm not going to try to pretend what the intent of women is in this, but that just saying for guys, that's where we're coming from on that one.
Right.
For me personally, in the past, that has come up because the person asking me that question, I am not, especially right in that moment, comfortable or ready to share what's wrong. You learn after a time when, you're not comfortable talking with your partner about something, he's not the right partner.
Yeah,
Because of that and because of past things that have happened to me, it can take me a while if I'm upset about something that I need time to process.
Right.
I need to figure it out in my own brain so that I can present it to my partner in a way that doesn't, number one, feel like an attack, or number two, to articulate what is wrong.
Well, and I think for either gender, the better response would be, I'm not ready to talk about it yet.
Mm-hmm. And see, now that part can be very difficult for all parties,
mm-hmm.
because the person that is on the other side of that knows something's wrong too,
right?
But can't do anything about it
yet.
And then maybe by the time the person is ready to talk about it, well, it's weeks later, it's months later, whatever. It's definitely the time has passed, and for some people may not even remember what the moment was,
mm-hmm.
might not even remember not all the details and everything. So you're coming into it feeling like, you know, you did something wrong, but you don't know exactly what it was or remember what it was or any of these things. And it all comes back to giving each other grace.
Right.
Is there a perfect way to do this? Is there a perfect formula? I don't know. But we're doing the best we can with it. I know that. Or at least we can try to do our best at it. High heels. just high heels. Period. High heels. Why? They are so impractical. It's amazing that they haven't been canceled yet. But it's also really impressive that women can walk around so well in them. I can't tell you how blown away I am when I see any physical act feat from a woman in heels. I don't care what it is. I've seen women jump rope in them. I've seen action stars do all these different scenes in them.
A gal just broke Guinness World Record with high-heeled tightrope walking.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. They're impressive. I just don't understand them. I just don't.
Well, it's a societal pressure, to look attractive and sexy, and high heels will help to draw attention to some of those areas in a woman's body that are considered those things.
Well, and also changes the way that your leg looks. So women's legs actually look better in heels.
Right, because they taper to a point.
Yep.
Do you guys think that this has gotten any better as far as that goes?
There are some shoe designs that are healthier for women to wear. I wore a pair of heels on New Year's Eve that... they're actually more like what Sam Carter wore in Stargate, but more like the like a military dress, Class B's that women would wear. So it's a good 2.5-inch heel, but they're thick,
the like chunky heel. Big,
it's a chunky heel, so your foot is better supported.
And James, you're asking the same question that podiatrists ask all the time. I've been told, do not wear heels because it's really bad on your arches. It's really bad on the balls of your feet. But society doesn't change that. So I think shoe designers are getting better about finding ways to support women's feet in heels so that they are starting to become a little bit more comfortable to wear. But I am not a stiletto wearer.
I keep hearing, and you're not just from you two, of course, I hear from others too, that I keep hearing society this, society that. But also I keep seeing the Me Too movement. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of empowerment being brought to women and going, in every day, really.
Right.
When is that going to happen then? Because I have not met a woman. I've met maybe 2-3 women in my life that have said they enjoy wearing heels. Like, if you don't like wearing them, don't wear them.
Right.
All these pressures from society, all these other things and stuff. It's 2023. We've really moved away from a lot of that stuff. And I'm not saying that I know what I'm talking about necessarily as a man. I'm saying this as an outsider. Hey, ladies, don't do it for us. Please don't do it for us. We don't need it. And I don't know many guys who are even into it. So, I mean, I'm just putting that out there. I'm not trying to, I hope I'm not sounding like, hey, what are you guys complaining about? I don't know what I'm talking about there, obviously.
Well, and some women just like, they like the feel of having it and the power and the way that they look in them. So, I don't wear them often, but I still wear them, but it's my choice to wear them. Not because society said, oh, you have to wear this to look nice, but just because the way that they make my, and sometimes our pants are tailored to be worn with heels. So I have to wear those, but it's a societal and personal decision.
And if you like the way you look in them, that's completely different. That's, teach their own, certainly.
Sometimes beauty is pain. We tell ourselves that a lot when we're ripping hair out of places on our bodies and when we're, trying to make sure that we look good. And societal pressures have a way of insinuating themselves into your own beliefs over time. We've had this pressed on us from baby on, basically. of what is the right way to look and the wrong way to look. And that's true across cultures across the world.
Yes.
Look at what women did to their feet in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the men doing it. China, thank you. It wasn't the men doing it. It was the women.
Why? Yeah, I think that was done in China and Japan, that's all. I think you were correct with the Japan thing, just China, they did that too. But it's heartbreaking. As soon as you say that, Melissa, I think of the images I saw when I was a kid, first reading about that.
Well, and there are cultures in Africa that where they wear rings around their necks to elongate their necks.
Yeah. I mean, there are all sorts of things that have happened to humanity over time because of culture, because of society. So as we learn and evolve and we grow to be, we can overcome some of these. I mean, they are no longer doing foot binding.
Right.
I don't know about the neck elongation. That probably is still happening in some places.
Some of that is cultural.
Yeah.
Some of that is tribal. But I know what you guys are, I think that's a good point to bring up too. And a good example.
I think that shoes will continue to evolve as we learn more about how much it affects our bodies and our future health. As a society, we need to think more long term.
Absolutely.
Of, you know, what is affecting our bodies, what is affecting our planet, and how we can keep these things, you know, healthy for our future generations and for the evolution of society.
Yep.
Everything comes in phases and fads. When's the fad we all get to just let ourselves be? When's that coming around? Where man, woman, young, old, just be. I'm comfortable. That's all that matters.
Let's campaign for it.
Yes.
Well, sometimes we do that. It's just not all the time.
No, yeah. I want that to be the norm.
There
I
you
want
go.
That to be the regular.
Our New Year's resolution.
Yes. I love the idea in every facet of society that everybody goes like comfortable and lazy. You go to court and the judge is in his pajamas. Like, you know, I like the idea of this. I'm gonna work on this one. I'm going to see what I can do with this. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club, not just for today, but we're announcing the December winner.
Yay!
Woo-hoo! It's coming up on the morning show at WFHR.
Happy birthday, darling. I have no presents, no fancy cake.
It's time for Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. We are encouraging you to head on over to Misty's. I believe they are back open right now.
Yes, they are.
Head on over there. Treat yourself. They're open right now till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, thank the gang for us and appreciate that. And get yourself a free slice of one of Brian's pies if you're celebrating a birthday today. We will get into January 2nd in just a moment, but first we've got to announce our winner for December.
Wow, yeah.
We had 29 entries in December. Big thank you and shout out to the greatest listeners in radio. Thank you, everybody, for that. A ton of great names here, but Beth, there can only be one.
The pressure.
Yep, give me a 1 through 29, Beth.
Let's go with 19.
19. Where is 19 on? Hey, 19. That's Aretha Franklin. It is Kathy Waller. Kathy Waller.
Ooh, congratulations, Kathy.
Yay, Kathy. Kathy just won herself some free Misty's menu. That is good for two lunches and two pieces of pie from our great friends at Misty's. Big shout out and thank you to everybody that got us your birthdays and anniversaries last month. Keep them coming, everybody. You could end up just like Kathy. You could be another winner. So go ahead and get them to us. info@WFHR.com or james@WFHR.com. Like our Facebook page. Direct message us your birthdays and anniversaries that way as well. Shout out to Kathy Waller. She is our winner for December.
Yay!
We go into January 2nd now. Getting it, and actually, we've got to get to January 1st. We have an honorable mention here, a belated birthday from yesterday. Pam's cousin, Dennis Eskert.
Happy birthday, Dennis.
Happy birthday, Dennis.
Dennis lived in Wisconsin Rapids, now resides in Cape Coral, Florida. And his father also had the same January 1st birthday, Edwin. Pam's uncle.
Very nice. Mm.
And now I need a one or a two from you, Melissa.
Two.
All right, there we go. There we go. I already made Beth work a little bit, so I got it.
keep it equal.
Let's see. First up, want to wish a very happy birthday to Clay Sampson.
Happy birthday, Clay.
Clay, you sound like an action star. Clay Sampson.
There you go.
It's a good name. It's a good name. Also, our qualifier celebrating a birthday today, another great one, Penny Love.
Happy birthday, Penny.
That's a great name.
That is wonderful. Really cool.
Yeah. Congratulations. Yeah.
You're our qualifier, Penny. And again, thank you to whoever got us these birthdays and anniversaries. Yes. And whoever keeps sending them to us, because you guys are the best. We appreciate you doing that. We've got a lot of longtime listeners that continue to send these year after year. We appreciate you.
Can I put a shout out for somebody that grew up in the community but is now living up in the Green Bay area?
Absolutely.
A clergy colleague of mine, Greg Barrand. Mm. It's his birthday today. So happy birthday, Greg.
Happy birthday, Greg. Yeah, that's a great name, too. That's a good one. Take a look at some celebrity names now. Ben Hardy was born on this day in 1991, known for his roles in X-Men Apocalypse, The Judas Kiss, a couple of other things like that. Tia Carrera, born on this day in 1967.
Oh, there's a blast from the past.
Yeah, yeah. She got her big break on General Hospital, but I think most people remember her from Wayne's World.
Yes.
She's also been recently on, I don't know if it was recently, but she was on Dancing with the Stars. She won 2 Grammys.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. Yeah, for Hawaiian music albums she did.
Wow.
Awesome. I remember her from True Lies.
Yes. That's right. That was another one. Yep. That's another one.
She was big back in the 90s.
Yeah. The mid-90s.
Yeah. Speaking of big back then, Cuba Gooding Jr., born on this day in 1968 in the Bronx, New York.
Wow.
Son of soul singer Cuba Gooding Sr., shot to fame with his award-winning role as Rod Tidwell in Jerry Maguire, of course. Mm-hmm. Has played a number of characters since then, but... unfortunately, Cuba Gooding Jr. gets used oftentimes as an example of what not to do after you win an award.
Okay.
His first big role after, because he kind of like boxed himself out in some ways.
Okay.
He expected a certain paycheck and wasn't getting it, so he would turn down role after role after role. And by the time he finally, his next big role to follow up after Jerry Maguire.
I was going to say, they didn't show him the money then?
No. Snow Dogs.
Oh.
Well played, Beth, by the way. That was funny. Snow Dogs didn't exactly, one of the toughest things that they do is talk about the landing after you win an award. And what's the next piece you're going to do after that? Now, like a lot of actors have roles already in the works, you know, when they win this award that they're currently filming. Famously, Jamie Foxx, when he won for Ray, went up there with this weird kind of like design in the back of his head because he was filming a movie, Stealth, at the time. So things like that just happen. But whether it's by, you know, that or accident or planned, that follow-up movie is huge and can oftentimes, well, are you going to be, Daniel Day-Lewis or are you going to be Marissa Tomei? Or, you know, are you going to be somebody who wins this award and everybody thinks, oh, that's the next great actor, and then we don't really see him much after that? Or are you going to be somebody who just keeps on winning and winning and Tom Hanksing, you know?
Right, and he had the potential to do so much. I loved him in What Dreams May Come.
So darn good in it.
Yes.
One of the most sneaky, underrated movies of all time. Mm-hmm. I love that movie.
Me too.
And that's really cool. I didn't know that. You're right. He was so good in that movie.
Yeah. And that's the potential. I see that movie. And I'm like, oh, where is he? Because that was such a great role for him. He could have done so much more.
I think easily, like, people ask me what the most romantic movie I ever saw was. That's it.
Yeah.
That to me is the most romantic movie I've ever seen. That's a beautiful
movie. If you haven't
seen
it, I highly recommend it.
I haven't been able to watch it since Robin passed, but I cannot wait to watch it again someday. It's visually one of the greatest movies I've seen,
absolutely,
too.
Absolutely, yeah. And what Robin does in that movie, because we're so used to him being the comedian and with his stand-up and his ad-libs, but it was a more serious role, and he did it beautifully, the depth of what he had in that role.
It had been some years since Good Morning Vietnam, Dead Poets Society, so you kind of, like, it was almost as if we had to remind people, hey, by the way, I'm one of the greatest ever doing.
Yeah.
Like, at anything. Like, just to remind you guys, hey, I can pull your heart out also.
And just a warning, it could trigger some people.
Yeah.
Because it does deal with death and certain ways that people die, so... But it's a very good movie.
Terry Gilliam, visually, what he did with that movie is one of his best directing works, too. Taye Diggs, born in this day in 1971 in New Jersey. Popular American singer, songwriter.
Broadway star.
I was just going to say, underestimate. Great performer, great actor.
Yes. And wasn't he the one in How Stella Got Her Groove Back?
I think so,
yes.
Yeah.
And that's really what kind of catapulted him into the common parlance that people know him.
He was in Rent, I believe. Yes. The Broadway production of Rent, too, was another one that really pushed him forward. Dax Shepard, born on this day in 1975 in Michigan. You know him from Parenthood and podcasts. He does a car show now, too. He's funny. He's a good one. Him and his wife, Jillian Bell, done a bunch of commercials together and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Kristen Bell.
Kristen Bell. Kristen. That's Kristen Bell. Thank you. Thank you. Sorry, Kristen. Sorry. She's too. She's very.
And they
talented.
Did a game show together. They created a game show on TV.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
So the interaction between those two is hilarious. I love it.
Jack Hanna, born on this day.
Yeah.
1947 in Knoxville, Tennessee. Jack Hanna, man, zoologist. Mm-hmm. How many people have learned or fell in love with animals because of Jack?
Oh, and his interactions with Johnny Carson.
Yes.
Oh, hilarious.
Some of the best stuff from the Tonight Show was done in that. Yeah. Fernando Tatis Jr., born on this day in 1999, one of the more up-and-coming fun players to watch when he's on the field. And Pernell Whitaker Jr., one of the sweet pea, Pernell, one of the greater middleweight boxers I can remember. Ann Lee, born on this day, 1913, great actress.
Wow.
And let me see here. There was one. We mentioned it's Sci-Fi Day. I think in part because of Isaac Asimov. Born in 1920, passed away in 1992. Best known for his science fiction works, Asimov regarded as one of the big three writers, along with Arthur C. Clarke and Robert J. Heinlein. Asimov created is credited with influencing most sci-fi writers since 1950s.
Wow.
Nobel Prize winner Paul Krugman stated that one of Asimov's works inspired him to take up economics.
Interesting.
Yeah. Quite an influence, quite a writer. Hard science fiction novels, and he was also a professor of biochemistry, too. That should be mentioned as well. And one more time, we want to wish a very happy birthday to our winner of December. Mm-hmm. The winner of the December birthdays for Misty's was Kathy Waller. Congratulations, Kathy.
Congratulations, yes, Kathy.
And happy birthday to Clay Sampson.
Happy birthday, Clay.
Happy birthday, Clay.
And happy birthday to Penny Love, our qualifier today.
Happy birthday, Penny. Enjoy that piece of pie at Misty's Menu.
Mm-hmm. Take a listen to Melissa's News and head on over to Misty's and treat yourself. They're open right now till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. Wish them a great day from all of us at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR.
Almost as if you knew I would be in today.
Welcome back to the morning show.
Well, we're living here in Allentown, and they're closing all the factories down. Out in Bethlehem, they're filling time.
It's hard not to sing along to. It's one of those songs. Such a good songwriter, Mr. Joel.
And having lived in that area.
Oh, I imagine. Yes. I didn't think about that part of it. Yeah. That may be my favorite of his.
Yes.
Maybe my favorite song of his.
Love that song.
It's a good one. Hopefully you guys are having a great start to your week, to your year out there. Thank you so much for kicking off your day with us here, Melissa, Beth, and James. And we may have a new job for you.
Okay.
May have a new gig for you, everybody. We've talked a lot about this over the last 2 years of the great, migration of people going from jobs to careers, from jobs to new passions, switching from maybe making a couple bucks less to doing something you love.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that. I think we may have another option for people here.
Okay.
We go to the Associated Press for this story that came out just the other day on New Year's Eve. Madison is where we head. A Dane County judge has ruled that people can sell a wide range of homemade food without a commercial license or kitchen.
Wow.
Judge Aranda Lanford issued the decision earlier that week, the Wisconsin State Journal reported. The ruling expands the types of food that can be made and sold from home to items like candy, cocoa bombs, fried donuts, and roasted coffee beans.
Okay.
The ruling marks the second court victory in 5 years for three women who have been fighting to sell food from home. Bed and breakfast owner Lisa Krisvist and farmers Della Enns and Krissa Marion won a ruling in 2017 that a state ban on selling home baked goods was unconstitutional. They filed a follow-up lawsuit in 2021, arguing that people should be able to sell other self-stable foods out of their homes as well.
Okay.
The Wisconsin Cottage Food Association, which represents people who make homemade foods for sale in the state, joined the lawsuit as a plaintiff. State law has for years drawn a line between which types of self-stable food items are exempt from license and commercial kitchen requirements. Statutes allow people to sell items like cider, maple syrup, and pickles, and allows nonprofit organizations and churches to sell all foods and meals.
Mm-hmm.
State attorneys argue that food safety is the issue, but Langford agrees with the plaintiff's agreement that homemade food is just as safe as other foods.
Okay.
Well, that is a boon for people who like to, you know, bake or cook in their home and now are able to sell those products.
Yeah.
So that is a good thing.
I am days away from announcing my retirement from acting, from radio, from writing, from all of it. I just have to learn how to bake. If I can just get that part down, feel like might be a cool job.
Yeah, start your own business.
There you go. I'm thinking of a line of the kitchen is open, baked goods.
Yeah, yes, 1,000 times yes. The way you two cook, yeah, absolutely.
We just need about 5 or 10 more hours in the day.
Yeah, just a few.
Could just spin those out of nowhere. Yes.
Yeah.
So to me, this and just reading in comments and bringing this up to some other Wisconsinites and everything, it seems like a really big deal. But when I'm asking people, like, well, what's the big deal part of it? Because I feel like I'm missing something when they say that.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really have a set answer. So what I'm getting from this is the possibility, the potential of what this is. It's good for these people here that are, you know, pushing this and everything. But I think the other end of this, or the big end of this, really is the possibilities that this could create for people.
Right. I wonder if the next evolution is like roadside baked goods stands instead of just roadside lemonade stands. Because isn't that like the next evolution of what that is?
Yeah,
and it expands what people can sell because there's a variety of things. Like they mentioned, pickled goods, not just pickles, but like pickled beans, pickled asparagus, things of that nature, cider, maple syrup, and eggs. Yep. So now other shelf-stable things that they can make at home can be sold without the need for the commercial kitchen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that this also is like I understand the concern of safety, and I never want to take safety lightly or anything. I also think that you know, oftentimes we don't put enough give people enough chance to have some personal responsibility and to make those decisions themselves. And it feels like one of those situations. If you're, you know, one of my favorite things, especially if I'm going up north, is keeping an eye out for people selling maple syrup. You know, I love homemade maple syrup. Mm-hmm. There's nothing like it in the world. If I'm driving and I see a stand on the side of the road and I'm like, it looks a little iffy. Like, I don't know about that one. It's on my, you know, I don't have to stop and purchase.
Exactly.
I can keep on moving. It's just personal choice. I feel like that if you give people an opportunity, they can, oftentimes, they can self-police.
Right.
Not to say that you don't need laws or anything like that. I feel like this is an important law, and I think it's good to have in place. But I also think that this is one of those ones where, you know, a lot of people police themselves on this one.
Well, and the nice thing with this is if you know somebody that makes a really good cake and you want to ask them to make maybe a cake for a birthday party that you're having, you can compensate them for that now without it being a big deal.
Does this have any, because the law was already in place with churches and everything selling baked goods, Beth, it seems like it's not really going to change that for that scenario.
It doesn't, but with the law, you're only allowed to have so many in a year. So there was a limit, and I don't know if this changes that limit or not. I'll have to do a little bit more looking, because then churches might be able to do, you know, 10 in a year, but it's limited to like 3 or 4 in a year without having to have the commercial kitchen.
Which can be quite a big deal it's one of your only fundraising opportunities.
Yeah. Well, and a commercial kitchen is not a cheap thing to install.
No, it is not.
Yeah. It's a good point.
And even just getting the license to do it out of your home kitchen is expensive. It's thousands of dollars to be able to do that and have your home inspected, where now this law, you know, this ruling that they've passed, you don't have to go through the inspection for certain items. It still restricts things. Like, they can't be refrigerated goods. They have to be shelf stable.
Mm-hmm.
We will take a break right here. We'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. And it is 8:54 on the clock. Melissa, Beth, and James here with you. And we'll get you ready for the 9 o'clock hour. Some good stuff there. Then he writes stories, good stories of the day. We're actually going to kick it off with a website I came across that I have to share with you guys. I don't know if other people have heard of or not, but I'm going to get into that. Also wanted to touch on this interesting article of 8 life-enhancing New Year's resolutions that you might actually stick to.
Hmm. Oh, good.
Got that coming up as well. Melissa, you sent me an article the other day from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, the worker shortage, about the worker shortage and also keeping people in city, in town. Incentives such as cash bonuses can encourage workers to relocate. Will more Wisconsin municipalities give them a try? Mm-hmm. It's an interesting article and an interesting concept, really. And honestly, you know, whether it is Mayor Blazer or any of the other mayors we've had on the air, if you hear them in interviews, one of the biggest things that they will say is jobs and keeping people in city, keeping mm-hmm. people, you know, your locals in town and everything. Mm-hmm. So any ideas I think are worth talking about. This is certainly a more interesting one, I would think, than the others I've heard.
Well, and they've tried this in other states, too, so it's not like it mm-hmm. doesn't have any research behind it.
Right. Some of the most widely publicized worker relocation incentive programs have helped their communities draw national attention and may have helped them as well as in the race to attract skilled workers. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, however, it may be worth questioning the extent to which this success is reputable in other communities. Every community is going to be able to obviously pull this off.
Right.
But every community has the ability to make themselves more enticing, better.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, I think that there is another part of this, too, that I've noticed is a pushback to that. Hey, my community's fine. It's great. I like it the way it is. I don't want it to change. That part has come up, too. Now, that wasn't in this article necessarily, but in conversations I've had with people about the subject. I think that you're in a situation almost where you're dang if you do, dang if you don't kind of thing. You kind of have to pick a lane almost because you're never going to please everybody, no matter what we're talking about mm-hmm. here. But with something like this, this is too big to. I would say it's almost too big of a topic for locals to get too protective of your zip code. You know, if you love your town, if you love your city. You got to want it to have a future. And no matter how old any of us are, we ain't getting any younger, any of us. So you want young people. You want not just young people moving in, young people staying in your communities.
Right. Because they need you want to have that talent there. They're going to be bringing the tax dollars. Many of them are bringing children to, you know, enrich our schools. Mm-hmm. And we need to keep those things.
The report points out that financial incentives are a motivation for people to move to a location. So to help with that, the forum analyzed 71 communities nationally that have worker relocation incentive programs offering $1,000 or more in cash or more other incentives. The Wisconsin Policy Forum, in part for the report, analyzed data from the MakeMyMove.com, an online marketplace for remote workers to browse communities willing to provide incentives to relocate. Mm-hmm. I also think that there's another part of this, too, and I think it's a part that I know Beth can relate to, where we don't have an option.
Right.
We're moving where the work is.
Yep.
Like, it's you're kind of forced to whether you want to or not.
Well, at least in my line of work, there's always the option to say no.
Oh, sure. So, yes, I know.
Yeah. But yeah, it's you go where you feel called to be. And, you know, there's a yin and yang with mm-hmm. this, because if everybody's offering incentives, well, those people have to come from a community. That community may be trying to offer incentives. So, you know, is it more about keeping the people that you have or being open to allowing people to move to other places and being the place that people want to move to? Mm.
Well, and with our, you know, lower cost of living here in Wisconsin, that can be something that brings people in, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Indiana has completely bought into the worker incentive concept more than any other Midwest state, with 16 communities offering relocation programs. Although Wisconsin does not offer much, there are some programs in Fond du Lac and the city of Merrill both offer very different programs. The other part of this, too, and I understand they're two very different worlds, but hear me out here, is also the legalization of marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to be the last state to do this? Because if you are, that's fine, but you're going to be the last ones making money off of it.
Right.
You're going to be the last ones making tax money off of it. You're going to be the last ones. So if you're the last state, obviously Wisconsin isn't, but if you are the last state to show incentives like this, other people are going to be moving this state, and you're the last ones in the nation doing it. That's not going to help you either.
Mm-hmm.
So having to get ahead of these things, or at least keep up with the Joneses a little bit, if you will, is important too. It's just interesting, though, that I don't know if in our lifetimes when I was a kid, I ever thought that people would be being paid to move to places. But
right.
It does. I mean, it kind of adds up. It kind of makes sense in some ways. Well, I'm not. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's good or bad. I think that's all personal choice. But it is what it is.
I think it really makes sense for people who work remotely from another state to move to the state where they're working. It makes sense for the state. Now, whether it makes sense for them personally or not is a totally different question. But
if the state can do something to make it more better for them to be able to do that, to work from the state in which they're working.
A shout out to Ricardo Torres from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel for the great reporting on this, where you can find that article. And a big shout out to Melissa for sending a nice fine mail.
Yeah, no problem.
We'll be back with more coming up right here on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio.